You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
You talk to the providers, the nurses, the PAs, who work in rural healthcare settings, all the folks. They'll have stories to tell, sometimes tragic, of how a lack of resources can hamper their abilities and their God-given talents and can lead to, well, not so happy endings, really, especially in emergency situations. So limited resources, limited technology limits their abilities. Even limited training in these settings may be a problem, but it's a problem with a solution that's in the wings. We're going to talk about that today. Enter the Praxis Center, coming to Butte, America. What is the Praxis Center? Going to find out today, and we'll also take a deep dive with leading authorities in rural healthcare today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, here's your host, Tom Schultz.
Thank you, Eric. Why is that shade pulled down? Let's pull that shade up. I need to
see. Oh, yeah,
we have one window here in the studio, and let's open it up so I can see. It is a beautiful day.
We actually have some sunshine. Yeah.
Yep, love it. Thank you for joining us here today. It is two decades strong, working on three, an objective perspective, news-oriented, and solution-oriented to Voices of Montana. And again, really appreciate you being here. Tom Schultz alongside. This is going to be a great discussion, an interesting discussion, a needed discussion when we talk about rural health care. A bit later on, we'll be joined by Neil Neuberger. He's the president of Health Tech Strategies Incorporated. And then also Terry Hill, executive director of Rural Health Innovations, is going to join us here too. Lots of credibility, lots of experience in rural health care. That is just in a bit, as I say. We'll take a deeper dive. But let's first welcome Raymond Rogers. He's the chief executive officer of the Praxis Center and CEO of the National Center for Healthcare Informatics. He is a Butte native, Butte America, and this Praxis Center coming to Butte America. We'll have him talk about it. And then also as we go around the world of rural healthcare, there's a story that we'll relate here that happened in Montana, again, with a tragic ending. But things like this, I think we're working toward solutions. And good morning, Ray. How you doing, sir?
Hey, good morning, Tom. It's great to be on Voices of Montana. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. And I've really appreciated our conversations leading up to this hour, too. There's a lot to unpack when it comes to rural healthcare. I'm thinking beyond the pandemic. I think the pandemic opened up our eyes to the need for telemedicine is one thing, but not only the need for telemedicine, but the need to shore up all of the infrastructure that surrounds our rural healthcare facilities. One of those things you've been addressing, along with a partner who, I'm sorry, tragically has passed away through this. I want you to talk about Pat Dudley from Butte America. But in preparation for better rural healthcare, the Praxis Center is a simulated training center, state-of-the-art. Let's just go right off with the story behind it, when it began, and how it's going to fill a need.
Awesome. Well, again, Tom, thanks for having me. And, you know, this is a project that's been in the works for a long time now. We started this project about 10 years ago, and it started when we were, my company, the National Center for Healthcare Informatics, we were working with the United States military, in particular, the Special Operations Forces, the Air Force Pararescuemen. We were working with them to develop some simulation-based training for them, world-class training for our special operators. And we learned a lot about simulation-based training. And while we were starting that project, one of the things we recognized is that if you're a rural healthcare practitioner practicing anywhere across the United States, you have very limited access to continuing education around simulation-based training. And we recognize today that simulation training, so that's training using advanced medical mannequins, it's using imaging simulators, it's using surgical simulators, we've recognized that that's really where healthcare is going in terms of training this workforce. And but if you're a rural healthcare practitioner, and you want to get some continuing education using simulation-based training, you really don't have access to it anywhere in the country. So we recognized this about 10 years ago, and we began thinking about this concept of developing kind of a destination world-class simulation training center that's dedicated specifically to the needs of these rural healthcare practitioners. And so, yeah, we got going on this project 10 years ago. We got super busy with our the work we were doing for the military. So we put the project on the back burner for a while, but about 3 or 4 years ago, we pulled this project back up and said, we got to get serious about this. This is going to have a huge impact on rural healthcare, and we need to make this happen. So, yeah, so that's a little bit of the backstory, and we saw a need, and the need still exists today, just like it did 10 years ago. And our goal is to fill that gap.
You know, and you have to talk about the high tech behind the simulations here. It's not just actors with ketchup packs. I mean, it has come a long way since then, since Hollywood.
Oh my goodness, yeah, Tom, this is really cool stuff. So, the use of simulation training is the whole idea of it is to replicate a real life experience as closely as you possibly can, so that when you're running a simulated medical procedure, whether that's an emergency obstetric procedure, whether it's a gunshot wound, a vehicle accident, maybe a pediatric or infant emergency, when you're running those scenarios, you want it to resemble real life as closely as you can. And the technology has gotten to a place where these medical mannequins have full onboard physiology models running so that they can be reactive to the things that you do. So if you're running a procedure, and for instance, maybe it's somebody in our military situations, we always would do scenarios where a soldier would have an amputated leg, maybe from an explosion. And if you're a medical provider and you're treating that patient, you put on a tourniquet, it's going to stop the bleeding, and the patient's vital signs will begin to improve. And those are the types of things that these new platforms can do. And now with virtual reality and augmented reality, we're seeing this technology go to a completely different level. We also see the same thing around ultrasonography or imaging, and we also see it used extensively for surgeons. So any type of orthopedic procedure, using Da Vinci for general surgeries, all of those things are now practiced in a simulation training environment where these, whether it's a surgeon or a nurse or a doctor, they can practice these procedures over and over again in a safe environment until they've really improved their skills to a point that, hey, now we're ready to work on a real patient. And the technology underpins all of this, and it's really amazing the advances that we make year upon year upon year with this technology.
A lot of higher education experience. You heard him mention his experience in simulation training with the U.S. Military Special Operations Forces. Ray Rogers, 20 years of experience working in the field of healthcare, a Butte, Montana native, joining us here. As we talk about the Praxis Center, standing by will be Neil Neuberger and Terry Hill, and they are leading authorities on rural healthcare. Let's talk about the Praxis Center a little bit, because I think folks in Butte, America are well aware of it. I mean, it's a brick and mortar training facility, state of the art. Jobs are coming, 50,000 square foot, and a timeline that was pushed back like a lot because of the pandemic.
Yeah, so we've been at this for a long time, and this past year was a struggle with the pandemic. Things really slowed down. But we're back hitting on all cylinders at this point. The project is moving forward rapidly. It is a really extensive project for this community.
Yeah.
And the whole community of Butte has been, really all of Southwest Montana has been so excited, about the Praxis Center, because it means a really significant, 50,000 square foot facility in Uptown Butte. We do own the land, where the facility will go. It's about a half a block from the new Northwestern Energy corporate office building, and the facility is really cool. So it's going to be designed to look just like a rural hospital and clinic. So it'll have emergency rooms, an OR room, ICU rooms, nursing rooms. We'll have a big imaging suite, a surgical suite. So it's going to be a really cool facility. Again, it's located in Uptown Butte, right in the heart of Uptown Butte. So it's gonna have a major impact on this community. We anticipate training approximately 5,000 rural healthcare practitioners from around the United States and Canada on an annual basis at this facility. These are folks that will typically be coming here for 3 to 5 days of training. And so the impact from that is really, really substantial. We're really gonna promote this as a destination training facility. And also really co-brand it with the state of Montana, right? People love the mystique of Montana. And we want people not only to come here to get this type of training, but then we want them to be able to decompress and spend a little bit of time enjoying the great outdoors of Montana, whether it's skiing or hiking or going to Yellowstone Glacier. We want them to be able to enjoy all of that. So this is a world-class destination training facility that's really going to meet the needs of these rural healthcare practitioners when it comes to their training.
Got a lot.
I might add.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, I might just add one other thing, and that is that when we began this project, one of the things we recognized that these rural healthcare practitioners really suffer from being isolated. So if you're in Shelby, Montana, or Plentywood, Montana, wherever it happens to be, you're isolated, you have limited staffing, you don't have any specialists to back you up. So you end up taking on higher risk in those facilities. And then because you don't see some of these procedures very often, you end up with skill decay, right? So they might only see in some of these small facilities one emergency obstetric procedure a year. But you have to be prepared for that. You got to be ready for it. And even though you don't see it very often, when it comes through the door, you got to be ready to respond to whatever that is. And so those were the drivers behind it. And so we just see the opportunity to have an incredible impact and to really make a difference in healthcare, to narrow the gap and be a multiplier for the rural healthcare workforce.
Got a little over a minute here. Talk about the partners, because it's a $35 million facility thereabouts. It's just not something you can go to the local bank and say, hey, my name is Ray. Here's an idea. Write me a check.
Yeah, no. In order to do this, we knew we need to assemble a world-class team of partners to pull this off. And one of the primary partners in this project is really the global leader in simulation training, and that's CAE and CAE Healthcare. They're headquartered in Sarasota, Florida. They're our simulation training partner in this facility. They'll provide us with a lot of the equipment, the simulation equipment we need, and then they'll also be our training center managers. So this is what they do. They do this all over the world, Tom, and they're a fantastic partner, and they'll be able to help staff our facility and then manage it, maintain it for us, which is just fantastic. And so we've got them on board. We have a lot of Montana contractors and partners on this. We have, you know, Cushing Terrell is our architect.
Hey, stand by, Ray. We got to take a break here, and we'll come on back. And there's more folks to thank here, too. And we've got more folks to talk about as we take a deeper dive into rural healthcare, especially beyond the pandemic, today on Voices. Talking about training for our healthcare providers, state of the art, the Praxis Center. And also, we're going to, like as I say, take a deeper dive. This pandemic has opened our eyes to the need for telehealth, for broadband infrastructure. But how does it improve our outcomes in rural healthcare? We're going to have a couple of leading authorities across the nation. Terry Hill's going to join us here in just a bit, and Neil Neuberger. As Ray Rogers with the Praxis Center, CEO there. And Ray, before we welcome Terry, because those guys have partnered on an information side with you as well. Ray is also CEO of the National Center for Healthcare Informatics. I'd love to have you introduce Neil and Terry.
I'll tell you what, over the years, I've been really blessed to be able to work with some really great people that are experts in rural healthcare across this country. And I really can't think of two better people than Neil Neuberger and Terry Hill. These are folks that have been really at the grassroots of all rural healthcare issues for the last 30 years. And Neil's, for instance, one of the founding members of the American Telemedicine Association. And Terry's been a part of leading the efforts for rural health with the resource center they have in Duluth, Minnesota. They've been just amazing in terms of the outreach that they do to rural health. So these are two guys that are really national experts in the world of rural health. I've been really blessed to be able to work with these guys over the years, and it's great to have them join us on the show today.
Thank you, Ray, and good morning, Neil. How you doing, sir?
Real good. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Yeah, and thank you for being here and your work in this field. Terry Hill, what's going on?
Oh, well, I enjoy being here as well. I'm located in Duluth, but I do a lot of work in Montana with the Montana Hospital Association and the Montana Office of Rural Health.
I'm looking at the bios, and there's a lot of, if I can say, legit credibility when it comes to the experience. Neil, 35 years in Washington, D.C. You spent 23 years facilitating a Capitol Hill Steering Committee on telehealth and healthcare informatics. And Terry Hill, Executive Director of the Rural Health Innovations, founder and senior advisor for rural health leadership and policy at the National Rural Healthcare Resource Center. There's no short titles to everything you guys are involved in. And again, thank you for being here. Neil, let's start with you. Praxis Center, the need for more training. And I think as Raymond had talked about, the skill degradation happens in rural settings just sort of by accident or just because you don't face these kind of emergency settings, especially on a regular basis.
Absolutely. Well, first, Tom, I got to thank Ray and let Montanans know that I'm looking forward to getting back out there with Ray and doing some more hiking in the Beartooth Mountains as part of the Praxis Center or even before the Praxis Center gets done. Been in Washington for far too long during this pandemic. In terms of rural healthcare training and what technology can offer, we know that rural providers are stressed out, they're burned out, and they're aging out even that much faster as a result of the pandemic. It is taking a toll on rural healthcare workers, and Praxis gives us an opportunity to provide, I really think, both in-person and distance education that is geared to their unique needs. So we can provide distance tele-education for those that can't get to and travel to Montana, although we hope most will.
And Terry Hill, you have a lot of experience in the academic side of things, served as an adjunct faculty member for the past 13 years for the College of St. Scholastic's Rural MBA program, also lectured at the University of Minnesota. Talk about the advantage and maybe the awareness of just continued training and how the Praxis Center is it a state of the art? Is it a step above?
Yeah, it seems it absolutely is. And part of the real challenge in rural America in general is kind of surveying and supporting our rural practitioners, you know, the rural hospitals, rural clinics. In Montana, we have vast distances, you know, between facilities. And, you know, Montana's always been a leader in rural health. I don't know if you know, but the present model of critical access hospitals, in fact, we have 1,330 critical access hospitals, and that all started in Montana because Montana is generally a prototype of kind of more of a wilderness settings, and so we have to be innovative in terms of how we reach the patients and the providers. And I think this center is going to be just a great example of how we can put something together that is going to provide, I think, extraordinary value to rural providers. And I think that can be done in person, but I think, you know, telehealth is just booming right now, and that's going to be a big part of it, too.
You know, one thing I worry about, and Ray, you can address this as well. I worry that, okay, we've got this pandemic. It opened our eyes up to a lot of things, but how does that really translate to real progress on the ground? And it's not just, I think our rural healthcare centers, they still have critical needs when it comes to facilities. Are we going to overcompensate, perhaps, get telehealth medicine going and forget the fact that, you know, there's still a need for good, solid funding for facilities in our rural clinics?
Yeah, you know, I think that one of the things we saw happen with the pandemic was just this massive acceleration with telehealth. And I think one of the things we're going to see is after post-pandemic, we're probably going to see that pendulum swing back quite a bit, but we're still going to see this significant expansion in the use of telemedicine. But we still have to focus on these facilities, right? I mean, these are facilities that typically serve fairly large geographic areas, and they're isolated, and they need the resources to do their jobs, and whether that's physical resources or training resources. And we want to be able to, from the practice center, we want to be able to bring them here for training, or we want to be able to take the training directly to them through distance education or actually showing up at their facility. So we see that there's still massive needs around training in at these rural healthcare facilities, and certainly dedicated resources to infrastructure as well. Even broadband, you know, there's a lot of issues around broadband. I know the Montana legislature's just made some big moves on broadband infrastructure, and that's a part of the discussion as well.
Neil, you're a policy guy in a lot of ways. Is policy going to adjust, and are they also going to continue to compensate for that need for, you know, on the ground kind of facility improvements at rural healthcare?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. And in answer to your question that Ray just addressed, I think it is, as Ray said, going to settle into a mix of in-person needs, that is hard facilities, including places like practice, and telehealth and remote patient monitoring and that kind of thing. The way that that's going to happen is through making permanent some of the payment policy changes that were greatly accelerated in the early days of the pandemic. You know, in crisis, there is opportunity, unfortunately. And so the way in which we got to almost really ubiquitous electronic medical records throughout the country was the 2008 financial crisis, right? Mm-hmm. And what happened at the time was that President Obama and, you know, and this is really the tale of, in part, four Montana senators, led by Senator Baucus in the Senate Finance Committee, put up $40 billion for electronic medical records. And it took years to get done. And Ray and others out there have been an integral part of making that all happen also, so we get away from paper medical records. The pandemic has similarly, after 30 years of trying, led to an explosive growth in telehealth and remote patient monitoring. I remember in the early days when Senator Conrad Burns in 1993 helped us with a NASA-led telehealth demonstration in the Senate. And he used to say, he'd get up on the stump and say, you know, we got to get that broadband and telehealth out to Montana where there's more dirt than light bulbs, or there's not many light bulbs between the miles of dirt or something like that. And so now the question is, how do we make that permanent? How do we make those policy changes that accelerated during the pandemic permanent? Senator Daines and Tester have been part of a Senate telehealth working group led by Brian Schatz of Hawaii, Senator Scott of South Carolina, and some others, to do something called the Connect for Health Act, which is now gaining traction and will make permanent many of the Medicare regulatory waivers and other policy changes that led us to where we are right now.
Terry, I'm going to have you also respond. Terry Hill is Executive Director of Rural Health Innovations and a Senior Advisor at the National Rural Health Resources Center. Should mention, too, the 2016 recipient of the National Rural Health Association's President's Award. So recognize experts here. Just some of your thoughts on actually the funding not just being talked about, but moving into rural healthcare settings, because there's a huge need for better facilities in our urban centers as well. And there's always this competition that rural healthcare seems to maybe lose out on.
That's a really good question in that regard. And in so many cases, rural health has kind of been put to the side. And I think with the COVID crisis, it's become very clear that, you know, that we're going to have to address some of the issues that have historically been a big part of rural health care. We don't have enough mental health resources anywhere in this country, but particularly we're very short in rural areas. Part of the thing that has held up or kind of slowed down the movement of telehealth, because telemental health, telepsychiatry, et cetera, right now is really booming. We're facing a crisis of depression and both on the part of the patients and on the providers, part of the providers as well. In the past, telehealth just wasn't paid for. And so what we found, there is a positive side to this whole COVID crisis, because we are kind of remaking the American healthcare system.
I apologize for breaking in at this point, but we've got a short break upcoming and more to talk about here. Thank you guys so much. We'll continue with rural healthcare beyond the pandemic on Voices.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
We're going to have open phones tomorrow, Friday. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte will join us later on the program. Legislature set to wrap up. Senator Mark Blasdell will join us as well on Friday. They may sign to die on Friday. We'll find out for sure. But welcome back here from Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana. Excited about the Praxis Center. It is coming to Butte, America, as we talked about. 50,000 square foot facility, state of the art. I guess they're kind of looking at maybe spring of 2022 to dig and get things going over there with a simulated training facility. We have a couple of the nation's leading experts joining us here to dig deeper on rural health care. Neil Neuberger is with us, president of Health Tech Strategies Incorporated, and Terry Hill, executive director of Rural Health Innovations, along with Ray Rogers from the Praxis Center. All right, Neil, I think maybe you wanted to follow up on what Terry had talked about in that last conversation, and it regards mental health.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. And so to Terry's last point about the importance of telemental health, especially in rural areas, along the way for the last 2-3 decades, we weren't so sure that remote, you know, sort of teleclinical assistance for mental health care, substance abuse, alcoholism was going to work. We weren't sure that it was going to provide the same as like an in-person experience, like, you know, group counseling and things like that.
Yeah.
As it turns out, the opposite, we found that it was disarming, that there is a high degree of acceptance on the part of both clinicians and patients to that, and it has taken off like gangbusters. So, you know, in the category of what works, what doesn't, what do we learn from it, we need to take a hard look at all of these different experiences and say, telehealth isn't for everything. You know, you can't palpitate somebody's stomach and find out what's going on that way. And so we still need, you know, in-person, you know, emergency and other services. But for some things, it's been unexpectedly great.
And that's a major hurdle for patients to get over when it comes to seeking mental health, is that disarming. And so
it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let me talk about this story and have you guys comment. And Terry, we'll have you comment first after that. It's true and it is tragic. It could have happened anywhere, but it did happen in Montana. A young person takes a fall, suffers a head injury, gets assessed at the local rural clinic, and I'm thankful we have them, essential. But it's 100 miles from the nearest hospital. And something wasn't right. Clearly, concussion was the case here. But what went undetected was brain swelling. And unfortunately, this story has a tragic end because it took a while to assess that and decide, because there's cost considerations here when you take, when you take a life flight to a major hospital. So several hours later, that determination is made. But unfortunately, it's too late. And the ending is tragic in that regard, Terry. Will the Praxis Center, will education, will telehealth have a direct impact on a story like that?
I think it absolutely will. I think we need more kind of trauma training in that regard. You really have to feel for the job of a rural physician, yeah, for example, trying to assess, exactly when should I transfer that patient And I think with more trauma training, you know, they have to be, you know, they have to be certain, they have to have expertise in so many different areas. And I would think with the Praxis Center, if again, given their military background, training military personnel, that this would be an opportunity to more appropriately assess that patient and then transfer when necessary.
Ray, I bet that's a scenario that you probably already have drawn up simulation-wise.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the entire purpose of Praxis, is to be able to practice those types of scenarios where it's high risk, low frequency, and the practitioners have to make fast decisions, and so that the patient has the best outcomes that they possibly can. Those are the exact types of scenarios that we will run over and over again. And when we do that, and those rural practitioners then go back to their home facilities, when that does happen, they're much better prepared to respond to it.
And Neil, I want to have you comment on that as well, because what are the limits to telehealth? Something like, as mentioned here, remote patient monitoring, could something have been done through effective telehealth procedures, and maybe not something that we have got on the books today, but something we develop down the road through a better understanding of how to treat these sorts of situations. But how does telehealth prevent something like that?
I'm not a clinician. However,
yeah.
Facility and training like Praxis in one-off situations where emergency responders, as Ray said, may only see one or two of the kind of situation you described, if at all, during their entire career, fairly well better know what to do and be mentored through that kind of fact situation, so that if the EMTs in a trauma care-like situation can be on, even on the phone, via audio, but preferably via video and with some views, CAT scans and things like that, you know, or x-ray from a frontline provider, a rural health clinic, a critical access hospital, and send all of that information real time to the Billings Clinic, you know, in the Eastern Montana Telemedicine Network, to those folks who are tertiary care providers, and they can help assist while it's happening and cut down the time that's otherwise required to get the care needed to that patient. So trauma care, it happens. Trauma happens all the time in rural farm settings, right?
Yeah.
Among farm workers, in accidents on your interstates and back roads and things like that. And we have to build the capacity either, you know, sort of virtually. We got to get these people trained up and get them instant access to the kind of information that they need to do the right thing at the time, at the scene.
Thank you. That's Neil Neuberger. And Terry, you want to follow up?
Yeah, I do, actually. It's incredibly important to me. One of the most important issues that any rural community is facing right now is access to broadband. And it's for the reason that we now have an ability, as funding has opened up, to pay for telehealth. I mean, our rural hospitals are truly in jeopardy. We have seen a significant number closing. Telehealth is going to be a good solution. But if we don't have the broadband connection, it just doesn't work very well. And if we don't have the payment, so we have to lock in the payments that the federal government has given us and try to get that extended beyond that. Because I can't think of a state that would benefit more from telehealth and access to telespecialists than Montana.
You know, I've got to take a break here. Go ahead. We got time to follow up.
Go ahead. I was going to follow up real quick.
Go ahead.
Say that, you know, 30% of rural healthcare organizations and organizations, well, 30% of rural America has no access to broadband. And if you like, I can comment a little bit about kind of what's happening out here in terms of getting more money and more availability for that full rural.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so the Biden $2.3 trillion infrastructure plan includes, among other things, you know, bridges and roads, $100 billion for ubiquitous broadband across the United States. Already, two of the three major pandemic response bills have contained $200 million boost and now a $249 million boost for the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, to through its Universal Service Access Program. And this is not taxpayer money. These are fees that get paid in. They're user fund money, right, to further bump up health care and education access to broadband. So there are real, there's real dollars coming everybody's way in terms of catch up for Terry's and rural healthcare facilities and for organizations like Praxis and, you know, I think throughout Montana. And it's going to happen in the next year or two.
Well, time runs out so fast. Fastest hour in radio. Only 3 minutes left here. So, gentlemen, thanks again. Terry Hill, let's start with you as we kind of have our closing thoughts here. We've talked about challenges, facilities, training, broadband to improve telehealth, costs. Final thoughts, maybe it's a hurdle. What leads to better outcomes? Rural health care, are we going to get across the finish line?
Well, I think we need to. One thing I think we need is we're going to need to keep our rural hospitals open.
Yeah.
I mean, it is so, they are so essential, particularly in a state like Montana. We're going to have providers available both within those communities. As you mentioned, it's still better to have that physician to patient contact, but we're going to get them out there. And we're also going to have those telehealth linkages as well. And I think the Montana rural hospitals, I've been really impressed with them just in general because I think they're resilient. And I just think we've got to do whatever we can to keep them open.
Terry Hill, Executive Director of Rural Health Innovations, and Neil Neuberger, President, Health Tech Strategies.
Thanks, Tom. I'm concerned a little bit about, as much of an advocate as I am for all of these things, I'm concerned about getting out ahead of our skis here in the sense that after waiting and plotting for 30 years, as mentioned, you know, we had this huge ramp up in telehealth adoption under Medicare plans, private insurance plans, Medicaid. And now we need to concomitantly evaluate what works and what doesn't. This is an evidence-based healthcare system we have in this country, hopefully. And so we need to show value. As you said, Tom, we need to show that there are real outcomes, that telehealth and remote monitoring is as good, if not better, than some in-person kinds of visits while maintaining and strengthening, as Terry said, you know, in-person clinic care, hospitalization, and all of the rest of the things that telehealth will never do. And that's what keeps me up at night, is making sure that we, you know, aren't just going too fast in this department.
I share those concerns. Raymond Rogers, Praxis Center.
Yeah, so, Tom, where we're at right now is we're just finalizing our financing for this project. We have about half the money for the project raised. We're out seeking more investment capital into this for this project. And we do have a request into the Montana legislature for some of the ARPA funds that have come down to the state. And we think that's a good use of those monies because we're going to be creating jobs. It's a job training center. We're focused on rural health and we're going to do some stuff with COVID response. So we think it's a good project for the state of Montana to get behind, and we're just really excited where the whole project is heading, and we appreciate having an opportunity on Voices of Montana today to share a bit more with your audience.
You guys have educated us greatly on this, and I want to thank you both, all three, for the work that you're doing to improve our rural health care. Take care.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices.